Well, the holidays are over, leaving behind memories, hopefully happy ones, leftovers, and clutter. But maybe that house or that basement or that workshop started out disorganized anyway. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Dean Kallenbach, in for Kate Archer Kent. Happy New Year! This hour, we're going to talk about ways to get organized for 2019, to make our homes a little more comfortable to live in, our workplaces a little more functional, and our lives a little less stressful. Happy to be joined today by Nicole Anzia. She's a freelance writer and owner of a Washington, D.C.-based professional organizing service called Neatnik. Nicole Anzia, welcome to the morning show.
Hi, Dean. Thank you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. And this idea of getting organized comes up time and time again in New Year's resolutions. We often resolve to organize that one room or the garage, or in my case, the basement. But are we setting ourselves up for failure by setting such a big goal?
Well, I mean, getting organized is definitely a worthy New Year's resolution, but it's usually not just one task to cross off the list. It's kind of an ongoing process. Definitely it's a good idea to pick one spot in your house and get started. And often after that, you'll be motivated to do more. But it's not sort of one of those things that you can do once and just be done with it.
Yeah. Many of us would probably say we'd like to be more organized, or what's considered organized or disorganized, because it all depends on the person. What should be the goal of any organizing we do?
Right. So the goals of your organizing, or anybody's organizing, should be to know what you have in your home, where to find what you need and where to put things, and just be able to have a place for everything and everything in its place. So it's not perfection. It's not an idealized, you know, magazine photo of how an organized house should look. It's making your house functional for you and your family, and maximizing the space that you have.
Yeah, it can get a little intimidating to see somebody, you know, some of these, like you say, the pictures in the magazine where, oh, they must not have anything because I can't see it hanging out from shelving or anything.
Right. Well, I mean, I've been in hundreds of houses over the last decade, and I can tell you that nobody's house looks like a magazine ad. You know, life is always changing. It's messy. It's chaotic. So we do our best to sort of maintain an organized space, but realizing that, you know, it's never going to be sort of perfect and unchanging.
Let's talk about organizing versus decluttering. I think we tend to use the words interchangeably. In your mind, is there a difference?
Oh, definitely, right. And you're right. In recent years, organizing and decluttering have become sort of synonymous concepts, but they aren't really the same thing. So the main purpose of organizing is not necessarily to discard things. Your closets and drawers could be packed but totally organized, or you may have a relatively clutter-free house, but you can't ever find what you're looking for. So organizing is putting the things that you own in order, and decluttering means getting rid of unwanted spaces that are or unwanted items that are taking up valuable space. So it's possible to do both things, but just decluttering doesn't make you an organized person.
So oftentimes I associate both decluttering and organizing with throwing stuff out. You're saying from an organization, in the organizing standpoint, that's not necessarily the case, but probably the case in decluttering.
Yeah, I mean, yes, exactly. You know, a lot of people have a lot of stuff. They might have a closet, you know, packed full of shoes and clothes, but can they find what they want? Yes. In their kitchen, it might, you know, be full. All of the drawers might be full. All the cabinets are full, but they can find what they need easily, and everything is in order. So that is organized. It's not necessarily decluttered. A decluttered would be like, right, so if, you know, your bookshelves are packed and you need to get rid of some books on your bookshelf. So declutter, they do go hand in hand, but it's not necessary to get rid of things to organize your things.
Nicole Anzia is a freelance writer and owner of the organizing service Neatnik. You can join the conversation by calling 800-642-1234 or by emailing us ideas@wpr.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Feeling overwhelmed by clutter or messes in your house? How do you deal with holiday messes? And do you have any methods for reining them in? What keeps you from dealing with them? And is the scope of the problem or not knowing where to start? 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org, or tweet us at WPR Mornings. So, Nicole Anzio, what should we know, or what should we be thinking about, actually, before starting any project around the house?
Right. So I think, as you just mentioned, you know, getting started is usually the biggest obstacle for people, right? They start thinking about how should I do this? Where should I start? How much, you know, do I need bins? What am I going to do? And this may be surprising to some people, I think the best thing to do is just jump in and get started. Sometimes planning can paralyze people. Sometimes, you know, it allows people to procrastinate more than they need to. And really, you can't always plan perfectly an organizing project. It sort of happens organically. So, you know, all progress is good. Get started, dive in, see where it takes you. So, you know, for instance, if you are going to organize your closet, I mean, you could think, oh, gosh, well, I really need some bins for this. I probably need new hangers. I need to get rid of things. Where do I, you know, how do I start? I would just say, just start. Take some things out. Look at some shirts. Decide what you need, what you want. Once you've sort of gotten rid of anything you don't want, have the things in order that you need, yes, you may want to and need to buy some additional products to help maintain the space in an organized way, but I just think really just jumping in and doing something is the best motivation and the best way to proceed.
Speaking of closets, and I don't think I did this because I knew I was going to be talking about this today, but yesterday I accomplished a long And I think this is probably something based on what I found, it's probably been years in the making. I wanted to organize my sweaters because I've got a shelf in my closet above the hangers where I keep all my sweaters. But I decided I'd take all my sweaters out, brought them into the living room to decide which ones am I going to keep. I ended up tossing 20 sweaters. Now, you know, I've been in that house for a long time, but there were ones I'd never seen before that were like brand new. It is sometimes hard to get rid of clothes, and you might think, one day I'll wear this, but is there a hard and fast rule that you can give us about how to determine what clothing you need, what clothing you don't need?
Right. Well, one thing I think you did absolutely right was take everything out and move it to a different space so you can see it in the light. And, you know, and then you have to really make a decision about what you're going to put back as opposed to what you're just going to take out. So that was the right way to go. Good job. Some people say that if you haven't worn it in a year, get rid of it. I don't think that's a hard and fast rule, but generally speaking, right, if you haven't worn it in a year or 2 years, you're probably not going to. You're not going to grab for it. If you have too many things, it's just overwhelming. You probably take what's on top every single time. So I always think about giving away clothes in terms of you haven't worn it, you don't need it, right? If you have, you know, 40 sweaters, do you really need 40 sweaters? You probably wear the same ones, and there really are people who could benefit from them. So, you know, one thing that makes it a little bit easier to get rid of clothes and to say goodbye to things that, you know, you spent money on and you thought you might have worn and you didn't and feeling disappointed in yourself is to think you're really helping somebody else out by, you know, giving them away to somebody who could use them.
Nicole Anzio is our guest this hour. She's a professional organizer. Do you have a New Year's resolution having to do with getting more organized? Does the whole idea leave you feeling overwhelmed? Call to be a part of the discussion at 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings or email ideas@WPR.org. I'm Dean Kallenbach. I'm in for Kate Archer-Kent, and it's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Dean Kallenbach, in for Kate Archer-Kent. Winter in Wisconsin, well, it's a great time to get things organized in our homes. That lawn that needs mowing is not an excuse at this time of the year. So what projects would you like to attack this winter? Let us know at 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org, or on Twitter at WPR Mornings. Our guest owns a professional organizing service called Neatnik. She's Nicole Anzia. And Nicole Anzia, this time of year, many of us are dealing with an influx of stuff in our houses that comes in the form of presents. Now, for several years now, trying to accumulate less stuff. When my kids ask me what I want for a present, I always tell them consumables, which usually comes in the form of food, and that leads to another New Year's resolution. But it's fun to get presents, and new stuff can be exciting, but it also means more stuff. So what do you suggest if people are feeling overwhelmed by the influx of gifts?
Right. So it's very normal to feel that way, of course, at this time of year, but all the more reason to take a look at what's already in your house in addition to what you've added. So if you've gotten new books, maybe you've gotten 5 new books for the holidays, maybe look at your bookcase and see if you could get rid of 5 or maybe 10. Just do a little bit at once. Don't say, I'm going to look at every book in my house. I'm going to figure out what I'm going to keep. I'm going to go donate them today. I'm going to, whatever. Just do a few small steps. So if you've received, for instance, new coffee mugs as a gift, maybe take a look at the coffee mugs in your house and see if you can pare down some of the 30 that most people have. So just try to do an in and out sort of look at things. And again, if you set your sights too high on organizing your whole home at once or getting rid of everything or going through every room, you may be disappointed, but small sort of frequent purchases of items and, just taking a real hard look at what you have and what you can, part with at this point. And again, there are so many people and families in need that, if there are old socks or jeans or toys or kitchen items, a lot of people, if you're not using them, somebody else can. So just take a hard look at what you have, and then you can integrate the new stuff in better.
I used my New Year's Day also for that annual issue of undecorating from the holidays, in part at least. And it seems like nothing ever goes back in the same box quite as well as it came out of the box. But yeah. This is the time of year that folks start taking down the lights, other decorations. And if they're like me, they throw the stuff back into the box or three and hope they can find it next year. Any advice on getting all that seasonal stuff organized?
Yeah, well, definitely taking it down is not as fun as putting it up, right?
No.
What I tell people here is, for instance, you don't need any special bins or boxes. You don't need to run out and buy new things to pack things back in their boxes. Don't try to do everything perfectly, but try to get things in boxes with like objects. So, the goal would be to have all of your ornaments in one or two boxes. I like to use smaller boxes inside of larger boxes for those fragile ornaments. Egg cartons work well, tissue paper, newspaper for wrapping them up. And again, it does not have to be a perfect endeavor, but I think the most important thing is to get like items together and to label the bins. And that said, if you are, thinking of investing in some bins for holiday decorations, I think that's one place where it's actually a good investment because you'll use them year after year and you'll become acquainted with, where things are and where things fit and where they belong. For lights, lights are sort of a point of contention in my household, actually, because my husband tends to just throw them in a bag, which makes me a little bit uncomfortable. I like to wrap lights, both indoor and outdoor, around something so that they aren't tangled next year when we try to decorate again and start off the season in a happier mood than in a fighting one. So I like to wrap them around something. It could be a wrapping tube. It could be just a cardboard, a piece of cardboard from a box. It could be a coffee can, something like that to wrap them around to keep them untangled. I like to label my lights. These are the indoor ones. These are the outdoor ones. So you can get more intricate. Most people don't have the patience to do it, and that's okay. I would just say you'll be happy happy next year if you take a little bit of time to get things into boxes relatively neatly and label them.
And maybe avoid that Clark Griswold moment where you're trying to untangle a 4-foot ball of lights. Good idea.
Hey, exactly.
What about all those Christmas cards we've been getting over the past month or so? It's so hard to throw away that picture of your third cousin and their family. What can you do with a card after you've opened it, beside putting it in recycling?
Right. So, I mean, I am a little bit sentimental in that way, mm-hmm. and I like to keep my holiday cards, especially with photos of relatives and friends, kids, and things. So I usually put them in a plastic bag and label the bag by the year, and I'll keep them for a couple of years in a box in that way. And then every couple of years, I just get rid of the oldest ones and just keep the newer ones. I think it's okay to keep them if they're important to you and to look back on them. And they're also good to have next year when you're looking at your holiday list and, you know, to think about who you may want to add to your list or who doesn't need to be on your list anymore. So, I mean, I am not the person who will tell people to throw away things that they enjoy and, you know, everything that, you know, is potentially clutter. But I think if you want to keep them, just keep them in an organized fashion, keep them somewhere out of the way, and keep them somewhere where you can find them when you want to enjoy them.
Our topic this hour is organizing our lives here on The Morning Show. Nicole Anzia is a freelance writer and owner of the organizing service Neatnik. And if you're like me, any flat surface is an invitation to pile stuff. Are you trying to find a way to declutter? 800-642-1234 is our phone number. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Let's talk a bit more about decluttering. Any decluttering project requires the person to ask him or herself that question, keep it or throw it away. And depending on the objects, that can be a really hard question to answer. Any advice you can offer here?
Yeah, I mean, I often just tell people not to overthink it too much. I mean, of course, Marie Kondo famously wrote a book about getting rid of things that don't spark joy. Mm-hmm. And so one way to think about it is this something that you need? Is this something that you enjoy? Is this something that is useful? And you can ask yourself those questions. If it is really difficult to part with something, probably it's just a good idea not to part with it. Yeah. That's fine. You'll get there. But if there are obvious things that you know you don't need anymore, you know, make it easy on yourself. Get rid of those things. You know, I like to have a bag just sort of in my closet and also downstairs in our basement. I have two children. And as the year goes by, you know, we can put things in those bags that we're going to donate. There's not serious pressure to all of a sudden declutter the entire house. But when we see things that we no longer need, that the toys that they no longer play with, we can put them there and then donate them every couple of months. So, you know, I do think for some people, it is more overwhelming than for others making those decisions. And I just urge people not to push themselves too hard and not to, again, think that they have to, you know, get rid of everything in their house, but that all of the clutter can cause stress for people, and that, you know, getting rid of a few things as a regular exercise actually will reduce your stress and make you a happier person, I think. So even though those decisions can be tough, they're often worth making.
Now, for me, it's my basement workshop and the workbench, but are there certain areas where we tend to amass a lot of clutter?
I mean, I think, like you said, a lot of, you know, every surface in my house especially is sort of sometimes can be an invitation to just plop things down. So I think entryways are a really difficult spot for, you know, for people. You throw your keys down, you throw your wallet down, your purse down, your umbrella, your shoes, you know, all of those things that, you know, just you walk into the house and kind of plop down there. So I think entryways can be difficult, but can be alleviated with a few just sort of smart ideas, you know, some hooks, some containers, specific places where things go so it doesn't turn into, you know, sort of a tornado of of stuff. I think, you know, people's kitchens, of course, the center of many households and where a lot of things happen, can become cluttered, especially in sort of this open concept era of kitchens. You know, they kind of become the everything spot. So it's no longer just for cooking. It's for homework. It's for all of those things. So I sort of tend to try to, like to have, as a rule, several spaces cleared off at the end of every night, and others I sort of have to just let go of. But for instance, our kitchen island, I like to have cleared at the end of every night. And so you can kind of compromise with the people you live with and say, it's okay if this stuff is here, but let's not, you know, cover our dining room table in things. For instance, let's have our island clear, but if there are bookshelves somewhere that have a few too many things on them, that might be okay.
Nicole Anzia, freelance writer and owner of Neatnik, a Washington, D.C.-based professional organizing service, is our guest. We'll pick up the conversation after the news. I'm Dean Kallenbach in for Kate Archer Kent. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. Kate Archer Kent has the day off. I'm Dean Kallenbach. Happy New Year. Good to be with you. In my corner of my basement, I have a small workshop with a workbench, pegboard, and those little organizer drawer thingies. But for years, the bench has been mounted with stuff that makes it unusable, and I forget what's in the drawers. Hopefully, our guest this hour can help you and me get to the point where we can see our tabletops again. She's professional organizer Nicole Anzia, and we're talking about getting organized through the top of the hour. What questions do you have about getting organized for the new year? What are your go-to organizational tips and tricks? Join us with your challenge or success story at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org is a place you can email us, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Nicole Anzia is a freelance writer and organizer and owner of Neatnik, a Washington, D.C.-based professional organizing service. Nicole Anzia, when it comes to organizing our houses, are there any rooms that are good to tackle first?
No. I mean, unfortunately, the answer is it kind of depends. Yep. So I urge people to think about the spaces where they're spending the most time. Think about the areas of their house that are causing them stress, that are making them sort of upset and frustrated, and are maybe, you know, not places where they enjoy spending time. But again, really just, you know, so if it's your closet and you can never find what you want to wear in the morning, you know, that's an awesome place to start. If you work from home, if you have a home office, and if that's just become sort of a mess in the last few months and we're starting a new year, by all means, start there. I always tell people, again, just start. Don't overthink it. There's no right way. You know, you don't need to start in your basement or your attic. You just need to start where it makes most sense to you and where you can have the most impact.
When I was a kid growing up, there was this one place in our kitchen, one drawer, which was called the junk drawer. And that's sort of where everything, there were little things, but it's where little things would go that if you couldn't find it anywhere else, you could go and try to find it in the junk drawer. And we've talked already about closets. And a lot of times I think people have junk closets. Are closets kind of a main focus of your work? I mean, is that a pretty common theme as far as people who seek you out for your organizing services?
It is. I mean, obviously, we use our closets every day. And people have, you know, their closets have gotten bigger and bigger over the years, which can be a good thing and a bad thing, right? Because now we can fit all kinds of things in our closet that, you know, maybe people couldn't 40 years ago. You have a walk-in closet, you have all this space, so you think, oh, well, I'll just put these papers here, or I'll just set this bag here. You know, so the space can be a blessing and a curse. I do help people with closets quite often. I think people more and more are catching on to the idea and becoming more accepting of the idea that really less is more. So, you know, with that in mind, I think as people sort of look to their closets this year, make resolutions about paring down, making things easier to, you know, to get dressed in the morning, to put things away at night, to just think about, you know, the things that you're definitely using, what should actually be in your closet, which are clothes, handbags, shoes, and not much else, and just thinking about utilizing that space in the most you know, functional and efficient way.
A lot of times when you walk through the home stores, they'll have closet organizing devices, that sort of thing. Is that something that you found useful in your work trying to help organize people?
Yeah, I mean, I don't recommend that people just go out and buy a bunch of bins or closet organizers before they've actually sort of organized their closet a little bit, right? I mean, sometimes those bins and those closet organizers can, you know, actually become additional clutter because you buy something that either isn't the right size or is something that you don't actually need. So I urge people to, you know, take a good look, see, for instance, maybe you want to switch out your hangers to some thinner hangers that will allow you to store more things. Maybe you want to put some out-of-season shoes into stackable boxes. Maybe if you don't have a lot of shelving space, you'd like to have some portable shelves. And so all of those things can work wonders and can be really great for maximizing space. But you need to know what you need before you go out and buy them. They are tempting. I mean, those places and those items are sort of shiny objects, right? That places like the Container Store and even, you know, at Target or Home Depot, I mean, all of those things are so alluring that they can be easy to just snatch up. But you should really take a look at, you know, what could be most useful.
You wrote a piece recently in the Washington Post that dealt with another issue in organizing. This is one I can relate to. What to do with all those boxes of old photos lying around? Tell us more about that.
Yeah, I mean, we all have them, right? I mean, especially if you're over the age of 25, you know, we all have these photos that we used to take, you know, we used to take the film to the store and have it developed and bring them home, and we'd, you know, put a few in an album, give a few away, and the others kind of just piled up in boxes. So this is a project I do with a lot of people. It's one of those things that doesn't affect your everyday existence and isn't going to make, you know, your life flow and work better every day. But it's one of those things that people think about a lot, and it kind of weighs on them, and they'd like to get it done, but they just can't, you know, get started, and it seems overwhelming. And just like every other organizing project, when people get started and just take one or two boxes and look at them, it's not sort of as difficult as they imagined it would be. There's a lot of those photos that are terrible. I mean, the image, yeah. You know, we took pictures of sort of silly things back then. You know, we got duplicates. There are pictures with people's eyes closed.
A lot of bad exposures, too. You couldn't tell before you printed them if they were good or not.
Exactly. And so, you know, discarding them is not as difficult as you might think, or discarding some and just winnowing your collection. And then I just urge people, right, I mean, the whole goal is not to have your photos perfectly organized in a box. The goal would be, you know, to do something with them, to share them with somebody, to have them if you want to look at them or recall, or, you know, show your kids or something like that. So, I mean, the most important thing is to just know what you have, maybe file them into categories that are sort of, you know, not exactly specific, you know, this year and this state, if you can't remember. But maybe it's, oh, these are pictures from elementary school. These are pictures from the 80s. These are pictures of our vacations to Florida. And just sort of get them in order so that you can find what you need if you want to share them. Or you might want to frame one or duplicate one for somebody. So, again, I mean, manage your expectations about what you actually want to accomplish. And oftentimes it's just sort of knowing what you have and being able to find what you want and to share a few of these. But it shouldn't be to have a perfectly organized, you know, album or file of all these photos, because that's a little bit much and probably isn't going to happen, so you may be disappointed. But just take a look at them, and they're fun, and they're fun to share with family, and don't be scared, I guess. You can do it. Tackle the project.
Got a nice tip from Casey via email. Casey from Milwaukee called to share an idea of what to do with all those pictures we get with Christmas cards. She takes a picture of the cards with family photos and makes that picture the photo for the contact in her phone. That way she gets to see and enjoy the photo, and it changes every year. Neat idea.
That is a great idea, and one I've not thought of or heard of. Thank you, Casey.
We're glad to help you on that cause. Nicole Manzia, she's a freelance writer and owner of the organizing service Neatnik. You can do like Casey and email us at ideas@wpr.org. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings, and, of course, you can always call with your ideas and questions at 800-642-1234. We've been talking a lot about physical organizing, things like closets and drawers and whatnot. What about the non-physical things? Can you talk about other aspects of our lives that could benefit a little from organization?
Yeah, I mean, our lives in 2018 and now 2019 are hectic, aren't they? I mean, it's sort of 24 hours with a very little break from things. So one thing I've tried to stress to people is to just be a little bit more discriminating about all the things that you have to do. So try to simplify. Try to do a little bit less, but do it better, if that makes sense. So I think, you know, oftentimes we try to accomplish everything every day. You know, there's continually, you know, demands on our time. And I have tried to sort of prioritize what is absolutely necessary to do and what I would like to do and what I can pass on doing. So I think that really thinking through your schedule and your duties and all of the activities that you or your family participate in is a really important thing to think about as the new year begins. I think we can also work on sort of our use of technology and how that can be overwhelming. And maybe a goal for the year might be to, delete emails every 2 weeks, you know, try to stay on top of your inbox. I keep a to-do list, an ongoing to-do list of things that I'd like to accomplish, you know, today, this week, this month, and keep that going as well. Turning our cell phones off. I'd like to turn my cell phone off at 9 o'clock every night, and that's it. And I'm done for the day, and whatever hasn't happened, we'll have to wait until the next day. So I think just thinking about our emotional well-being and all of the things that are calling on us every day and assessing what needs to be done versus what we want to and, you know, can't do, just realizing that we can't do everything.
Yeah. Turning the cell phone off at 9, an interesting idea.
I mean, it's kind of a hard stop for me, right? If you haven't, you could just keep going and going and going. Yeah. I could keep sending emails. I could keep, you know, doing scheduling and things like that. But by having a deadline and having a hard stop, I find that it helps me with managing my time.
Our guest is Nicole Anzia, professional organizer. I'm Dean Collin, back in for Kate Archer Kent. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Dean Collinback, in for Kate Archer Kent. We're talking today about getting organized and staying organized in various aspects of our life with Nicole Anzia. She's owner of a professional organizing service called Neatnik, and she helps folks figure out systems they can use to make their life more, make their stuff more findable and their lives a little less stressful. What's the organizational hole you're trying to dig out of? Do you work hard to stay organized, but the person you live with doesn't? How do you deal with that? 800-642-1234 is our number. 800-642-1234. Ideas@WPR.org is our email connection, or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Again, Nicole Anzia, freelance writer and owner of Neatnik, a Washington, D.C.-based professional organizing service. And Nicole Anzia, Chris Ann in Park Falls joins us. Chris Ann, Happy New Year.
Thank you. I was just calling. We have, you know, tons of albums that we've collected over the years for pictures, and it was kind of getting overwhelming, and we thought, well, if we ever have a fire, we never would be able to save them all. So we actually scanned each page onto the computer, which saved them to the cloud, and organized them by year, by event, weddings, different things like that. And that way we've got them all, and we could get rid of all those albums, and we know we still have them, and they're in a safe place. So that's worked really well for us.
Thanks a lot, Chris Ann. And Nicole, that sounds like a great idea, but it also opens up this new can of worms, which is digital clutter. How can we deal with that better?
Right. Well, first of all, that is a great accomplishment, Chris Ann. So kudos to you. And she raised a good point that, you know, two good points that, you know, those albums take up a lot of space and the glue on those old albums can deteriorate the photos a little bit. And also in case of, you know, a fire, a flood or something like that, it's just nice to have them sort of digitally saved in case of a tragedy or disaster like that. So those are all good things. Digital organizing is really tough. I mean, it is really tough, but she definitely has the right idea by, you know, as much as we can, stay on top of, for instance, our emails and photos, trying to file them and label them by year. And again, delete ones that are, you know, not great. Oftentimes with our cameras, you know, we take three or four pictures at once, and we probably only need to keep one. And so that's another thing. I mean, a lot of people have tens of thousands of photos on their phone and their computer, and it can be overwhelming to find a place to start. But, you know, again, recently I tried to sit down, and one of my New Year's resolutions actually is to go through my photos on my computer, and I'm trying to look through 1,000 a day.
Yeah, nice.
And so setting a small goal and breaking it up into smaller pieces is the way to go, and I'm trying to, you know, not only discard ones that I don't like, but to print some of the ones that I do want, and then also to file them, as Chris Ann did, into categories either by year or event.
Yeah, I haven't put mine on the cloud necessarily, but I've taken my digital photos at least, and I was pretty good about this. I stored them all to CD drive, and then I keep the CDs in a safe. Unfortunately, now you got to find a way to play the CD, but putting it on a hard drive or storage like that, I would think, as long as it's organized, would be just as good as the cloud, as long as that storage is safe in some fashion.
Exactly. Yeah, and I mean, any way you want to back them up is a good way to back them up. Again, I think sometimes people overthink it and become paralyzed and just don't do anything. So I agree that a hard drive or a CD or the cloud, whatever you find easiest, or if there's somebody who can help you, a millennial or somebody who can help you with one of those things, seek out, you know, their help. But I think the key is, again, to do something. And usually storage to the cloud or having your computer backed up, you know, regularly is sort of one of those things that, you know, once you have it set up, it just kind of happens. So, you know, I would certainly seek out advice. But again, the key would be to take some action. You know, you don't want to lose everything. And whatever works for you works, you know, is a great option.
Shifting away from digital clutter and back to kind of household clutter again, what if you've got a partner or significant other who has a very different organizational style than yourself?
Right. So, I mean, this is something I encounter every day. you know, they say opposites attract, and, you know, that's true and great in a lot of ways in life. But most couples have organizational differences. So that's one thing I try to stress to people, is that it doesn't mean that your marriage or your partner partnership is not, you know, a good one or a successful one. It just means that people have different ways of keeping the things organizing. Some couples have tried to have, you know, separate spaces. For instance, you know, people used to think, oh, we can share an office, a home office. You know, and if your organizational strategies are, you know, just totally different from one another, I mean, the best thing to do is just, you know, find a different space to work, separate those spaces. Don't try to change the way somebody does something. Oftentimes that will cause more acrimony and will be, you know, sort of fruitless. Some couples will make rules for certain rooms. So they'll say, you know, Okay, we'll agree that the kitchen counters will be clear every night. If you want your home office to be a disaster, that's fine. You know, some people will, if they were sharing a closet with their spouse, well, obviously, if, you know, that becomes sort of too difficult, you know, move to a guest closet. One of you could move to a guest closet. You know, so I think you can try to impress upon your significant other, you know, some organizational skills that work for you. But the important thing is I think to just find a system or a, you know, something that works for you as a couple, and it will be different for everybody. You know, it's all about sort of compromise and acknowledging that the differences exist and then finding a way to live with them and where everybody can be happy. And you know, if you really are having a hard time, and again, many people do, I would seek out help. And it doesn't necessarily have to be an organizer. It can just be a third party, probably not another family member, but maybe a friend or a neighbor or somebody who might have an idea, who might have tried something in their own home. But sometimes just having a third party intervene and give some ideas can really help couples to reflect on their differences and find solutions.
Organizational counseling, I suppose, is probably what you spend
a lot of your time doing.
There
is a lot of that in this business.
Yeah. Nicole Anzia is a professional organizer. What resources are out there if people need more help with organizing and decluttering?
One of the greatest resources out there is the National Association of Professional Organizers. The website is www.napo.net. You can find code in your area if you need help. There's a lot of online resources as well, of course, and a lot of stores. The Container Store and other stores have people on staff who can help with organizing.
How do you measure success when it comes to organizing? What's the checkoff that you can do?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's not about perfection. It's about making sure the measure of your success should be figuring out what works to you and what works for you. And if you find a way to make your life easier and more functional for you and your family, then that should be your measure of success. It should not be put up against a picture in a catalog or, you know, one of these home shows that shows a, you know, perfectly decluttered house with not one object out of place. The real goal is to be able to find what you need, know what you have, and to be able to enjoy your home.
And what I'm hearing you say, it's more than a one-time thing.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, getting, if you just say my resolution is to get organized, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
You need to develop consistency and develop routines and you know, purge frequently when you bring things into your home, take things out, make it sort of like a lifestyle sort of habit change. And I would just say overwhelmingly, people should buy less stuff. So it's definitely not a one-time deal. You can't just get organized and be done. It's an ongoing process. It doesn't need to dominate and shouldn't dominate your life, but realize that it's an ongoing sort of challenge.
And that's a great tip that will come in handy all year long. Nicole Anzia, thank you for joining us.
Nicole
Anzia, freelance writer and owner of NeatNik, a Washington, D.C.-based professional organizing service. My name's Dean Kallenbeck. I'm in for Kate Archer-Kent. Good to have you with us this morning. It's The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.